Chapter 14. The Last Battle. Coffee was especially good this morning. For a brief moment, I was at home in my apartment back in the city. I was keenly aware that Exemplar was standing behind me. His strength was like an unseen presence that glowed in the darkness. Unlike me, Exemplar had seen many battles that stretched back to the dawn of time. What stories could he tell? His serving as my protector was not his first assignment. For all I know, he was on board the ship to save the last few faithful light-bearers in the age of the Great Flood. Hundreds, even thousands of light-bearers have had him protecting them. Here he was with me. Where do I rank in the list? Matthew interrupted Jimmy's thoughts. We should travel light. Any gear that is not important should be left behind. If all goes well, we can retrieve it on our way home.
That sounds good to me, Carter added.
Me too, exclaimed Kalin.
After carefully scanning the possible directions available to us, we agreed on the passage to take. We traveled for over 3 hours, at times crawling on all fours in the lower sections of the cave. When we entered a large chamber, we stood shoulder to shoulder as we focused our lights around the chamber. Matthew was first to speak.
Wow, this place is massive.
Kalin added,
you have that right, Matthew.
Carter chimed in.
I can hardly make out the wall on the other side.
Kalin was looking up when she wondered out loud.
Does this place have a ceiling?
Jimmy refocused everyone's attention.
Look,
after a brief pause,
is that a river over there?
Jimmy continued,
there is something very different about this room.
Carter picked up on Jimmy's thought.
The air is different. It does not seem as dark as the rest of the cave. But what is that smell? Kalin asked.
That musky, sickly sweet odor is what nurses call the smell of death. A smell that lets them know that a patient is about to die.
Smiling, Matthew continued, maybe it's the smell that rogue demons give out just before the king annihilates them.
We need to get down there, Jimmy said. It took over an hour to work our way down to what appeared to be a river. Once we arrived, we could see that it was a subterranean river.
Jimmy said, in utter darkness, life exists. I've read that it's possible for cavefish and other organisms to live in subterranean rivers and lakes like this one.
Perhaps there are some here. The water flowed gently through the valley within the mountain. Although the water was clear, without the reflection of the blue sky overhead, there was an eerie darkness lurking just below the surface. It seemed to almost suck your soul into its evilness. As the four Light-Bearer warriors walked up and down the river, there was a collective knowing that the last battle would be here.
Carter suggested, we need to rest, eat, and then get ready for whatever is about to happen.
She immediately began to break out a stove and unpack some food. Assisting Carter, Matthew said, I can feel the presence of the rogue henchman.
Carter, looking up, bit her lower lip, nodded in agreement.
After eating, they spent more time in worship. We closed our time of fanning the flame with singing In His Presence by Paul Wilbur.
In your presence, that's where I am strong. In your presence, O Lord my God. In your presence, that's where I belong. Seeking your face, touching your grace, in the cleft of the rock, in your presence, O God. I want to go where the rivers cannot overflow me, where my feet are on the rock. I want to hide where the blazing fire cannot burn me, in your presence, O God. I want to hide where the flood of evil cannot reach me, where I'm covered by the blood. I want to be where the schemes of darkness cannot touch me, in your presence, O God.
Matthew closed with the words from the war manual spoken by the light-bearer warrior Samuel as he looked at each of his friends. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for this battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. Only a few feet from the edge of the river, Caelan stood facing the point where they had entered the chamber. Guardian took his position directly in front of her. To Caelan's right was Matthew. Like Guardian, Paragon stood in front of him. On the other side of Caelan was Jimmy. Exemplar was a few feet in front of him. Facing the river, with her back to Caelan, Carter took her position. Paladin closed in the outer position in front of Carter.
"There they are!" shouted Jimmy. "Look! The Roge henchmen, along with a horde of other hideous-looking henchmen, have surrounded us!"
Ignoring what was right in front of her eyes, Carter declared,
"We worship you, our king, and your son," she continued. "It is by King Avi's authority and through his strength that we take our stand before this evil." "You are our strength and our defender," Caelan added. "We are more than conquerors," Matthew added. As the henchmen rushed in to destroy the young warriors, they raised their arms. "Not to fight, but to worship the king." Every fiber in their bodies was engaged. Perspiration soaked their clothes. The turbulence of the battle was like being in a powerful hurricane. They could hear the henchmen literally screaming in their ears. Unspeakable blasphemies and every kind of profanity was hurled at them. Every fear they had ever known was forced into their minds. Jimmy was once again a frightened youth being subjugated by the rogue henchmen. He vigorously fought the desire to break the unity of the circle and run. Sensing this, Matthew reached behind and grabbed Jimmy's shoulders. Jimmy turned as Matthew said, "Today, you are not a victim. You are a victorious warrior. King Avi is with us. Fight, Jimmy, fight."
Time seemed to stand still. The battle raged on and on and on. Slowly, one by one, the brave warriors were breaking under the weight of this overpowering evil. Doubt was beginning to form within their tight circle of defense. Challenged by their human weaknesses, the victory that seemed so absolute earlier was slipping away. Even their protectors were reeling under the weight of the onslaught of evil forces. Caelan, feeling defeat was upon them, began to cry out in absolute desperation for King Avi. As loud as her lungs would allow, she yelled, "Help us, Abba! Please, help us!" In unison, all four warriors cried, "Help us, King Avi! Please, help us!" Although their spirits and souls were in fellowship with the king and fully committed to stand their ground, their human bodies were not designed for an encounter such as this. From their vantage point, all seemed to be lost. Although the rogue henchmen openly rebelled against Lord Reason had come to their aid. Lord Reason had summoned 70,000 powerful warrior henchmen to stand with the rogue henchmen. The mountain was literally shaking under the weight of this collective evil. Jimmy dropped his arms and fell to the ground. Carter quickly helped him back to his feet. The battle raged on. One by one, the battle took its toll on these young Lightbearer warriors. Doubt flowed like a poison through each of them. The hours passed. Still, no obvious relief had arrived. Had King Avi chosen not to help? Was this how he planned the battle to end? Weakened, exhausted, and wearied by the onslaught of Lord Reason's henchmen, they held on. These four warriors were traumatized beyond our understanding. Sadly, hope, or what was left of hope they had started out with, was all but gone. Through the pain, these brave warriors could sense the end was near. Strength was slipping away. Yet, somehow, some way, without any logical reasoning found, they pushed and fought to hold their ground. Relentlessly, their protectors continued to fight bravelessly and fearlessly in front of them. No, this was not how they planned this battle to end. End of chapter 13.